Well, good morning, everyone. Great to be with you today. As was mentioned on the announcement video, we are about 4 weeks away from our 20th annual Global Impact Celebration, which is it's an exciting time. I've always say it's the most important weekend on our church calendar, and because this is our 20th year, it's going to be a really special weekend with some special things happening at that. But last week, I spent some time with you just talking about who our partners are that we partner with in the church, some that have been partners for many years and that will be coming and attending the weekend, some who will be showing up via video. And we also talked about the fact that we have some partnerships that are concluding, that have come to an end for various reasons. And I mentioned to you that our partnership with City Kids has come to an end because just of several different circumstances that have caused City Kids to close their doors here as of this past December. But we wanted to just have an opportunity to have Donna West come be with us. And so we've invited her here this morning. So Donna, why don't you just come on up? We just wanted to have an opportunity to acknowledge what you've meant to our city, and just to honor you for 15 years, I believe it's been, of pouring into North Central Regina, ministering to the families and the children. We've partnered with Donna for 13 of those 15 years, and I think over those 13 years, it was something about $200,000 we added up that we poured into our city through your ministry. And so we just wanted to honor you this morning. So could I have Janelle come? Is Jenny here? She's got a baby. Come on, Jenny, let's go. Run. Donna, I was just thinking, I don't know what's going through your heart and minds these days, but I just wanted to say to you that God's word does not return void. And every home visit, every Saturday session, every child hugged, every child's life spoken into, every gospel presentation, every dollar that has been committed over these years were seeds that were sown into those lives. And here's the wonderful thing about seeds, is you never know when they're going to produce a harvest. And even though the ministry has come to an end, the seeds are still in the ground. And the power of God watches over those seeds. And you never know what day that seed is going to produce and continue to multiply and have life. And so we just want to thank you. We know what it took to do that, and we just wanted to honor you this morning for 15 years of service. And I wondered, is there anything that you would like to say, maybe a highlight or anything that, you know, that resonates with you after doing this for 15 years?
Well, first, just I want to say thank you. I didn't think this was going to be as difficult as it was, but thank you to Harvest City, because we would not have been able to plant those seeds with all the help and support, financially, prayer, volunteers. I know many of you have come out one way or the other. Janelle was part of the program for many years, planting seeds into the hearts of those children. And yeah, it's just, you know, a decision that the Lord had been putting on my heart for a few years and just had to do it. Pastor Joel, your prayer this morning just really hit me on being lonely, because that's, I think all of you in ministry know, that can be very lonely. And when you are alone, it can be even worse. But it was when God really showed me that he was there, that's when I realized that, yeah, I've done what God has called me to do. And it is time to move on. I know a few things that God has been calling me, showing me family-wise, that I need to invest in, and just to be there and planting those seeds. And I just want to share something that Pastor Dave shared at one of the GIC things that sat with me forever. It's tough ministry to children and families in inner city. You've got them for, what, an hour and a half, a week? You take them and plant them back into there, and you keep asking yourself, why can't I see growth? Why can't I see? Why aren't these children coming? And at one of the GICs, Pastor Dave shared with us that, oh, we are not called to save. We are called to invest into the lives. And we are called to go out there, and God will do the saving. And I have seen growth in every one of those kids. I can't even count how many. For the first few years, I wasn't even really keeping track of kids coming and going. But after that, I realized, and we had over 2,500 children in 15 years come and go through City Kids. Some of them have stayed. Some of them became board members. And just, yes, they will continue. And I know God closes a door so another one can open. And I know both for my life and for ministry in North Central, God will open another door. Thank you.
Well, we have some flowers here and a card, and we wanted to pray for you this morning. Would you stand, church, and let's just honor Donna for 15 years of service and just pray for her. Lord, I thank you for Donna. I thank you for her faithfulness. I thank you for all those times that she had to persevere and push through. And God, we just thank you for the fruit. Thank you for those 2,500 lives that were touched, 2,500 seeds planted. And God, we just continue to ask for fruit from those seeds in the years to come in Jesus' name. God, would you watch over them? Oh, God. Lord, not only were there children that came through the program, there were families that were visited every week, oh, God. And Lord, we continue to pray for those families. We continue to pray for North Central. God, we pray for the moving of your Holy Spirit in this part of the city. We continue to pray for those ministering in this part of our city. Lord, give them grace. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for Donna as she transitions into a new season of life. God, we pray for miracles in her personal life, miracles in her family. God, I pray that you would continue to open doors for her, show her the next steps. Lord, what's for her in Jesus' name? God, I thank you that you're not done with her yet. Oh, God. Lord, there's still lives to be reached, souls to be touched. And so, God, I pray that you would strengthen her. I pray that you would encourage her. I pray for fresh vision, fresh fire in Jesus' name. God, bless her today. Lord, we speak blessing over her in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being with us, Donna. All right, well, this morning we're going to do something a little different than a typical Sunday, but I believe it's going to be very meaningful and special to us. We have a special guest with us today. His name is Kenneth, and his last name starts with an R, but it's really hard to say it when it's beside a W. So I say Wego. He will somehow work the R in for you. But he leads a ministry called Eden Mission. And most of you know Pastor Peter Kasarivu, one of our ministry partners for many years, leads a network of 1,200 churches in Uganda and has a ministry called Africa Renewal Ministries that has orphanages and schools and has been reaching some of the most vulnerable in Uganda for many years, a massive organization. And Kenneth led that organization for many years. And but while leading the organization, God began to stir a different vision within side of him. And he began to share it with Pastor Peter. And in typical Pastor Peter fashion, he said, well, then why don't you go and do it? And I'll help you pursue that vision. And I first heard about it last year when I went with Anatoly to Kisoro, Uganda, to do a crusade. And Kenneth and his team were actually our main people on the ground to organize that crusade. I have to say, probably the most organized local team we've ever had worked with. in large part because of Kenneth and his ministry. And Anatoly said to me, when Kenneth picks you up from the airport in Rwanda, I want you to ask him about his ministry, because I feel like this might be a ministry we would want to partner with as a church. And so for 5 hours from Kigali, Rwanda to Kisoro, I asked Kenneth to tell me his story. And I was so inspired by this man and what God has called him to do, and what he is doing was remarkable. And so we just came home and began to share with our elders. We feel like this, just there's something about this guy that we feel maybe God is leading us to. And he couldn't be here for our GIC, but we found out he was going to be in Texas on a bit of a ministry trip this week. And so we said, can you come up and hang out with us for a weekend and spend some time with our eldership team? So last night we got to hear his story, and I'm going to have him share his story with you today. And there's two things about his story. The theme of our conference is called. And this man has been called by God at great personal cost. He's an educated man. He's had opportunities to work with the UN and all sorts of different things. And he has set those things aside to work with some of the most vulnerable people in Africa, to lift families out of poverty. Transform families is what his heart burns with. And so his story will stir you. It will provoke you. But then I also want him to share what he does. And because we're going to partner with him this year as a special project, and we're continuing to just seek the Lord as to what maybe the future would hold there. Before I interview him, we're just going to watch a little 3-minute video that describes a little bit about their ministry.
Hi, my name is Sarah Ringdahl, and I'm an American missionary living here in Kisoro, Uganda, and have been working with Eden Mission for the past year and a half. In the time that I've been here, I've seen the Lord move in powerful ways through Eden Mission. In 2025, Eden Mission served in 6 countries: Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, South Sudan, and Democratic Republic of Congo. Across these countries, we had 12 training centers for our family discipleship and empowerment program. We partnered with 19 health centers for our maternal outreach program. And we worked with 6 mission teams to conduct short-term trainings. Through all of this, Eden Mission was able to reach over 22,000 people, with 4,700 professing their faith in Jesus. The vision of Eden Mission is healthy families glorifying God. And so the people attending these programs can vary from pastors and other people in ministry, who are often quite well educated, to people in local community villages who are relatively uneducated. But regardless of all of this, I have found everyone to be incredibly hardworking and passionate for the Lord. I've had the opportunity to travel to many of the areas we serve and visit participants and go into their homes. One pastor I met with told me he pastored 5 churches, was a husband and a father, a farmer, and a school teacher, and so was his wife. And yet they were so hungry to improve themselves. I was so blown away by them. The people of East and Central Africa desperately want to improve themselves and create a better future for their children. And Eden Mission is coming alongside them, equipping them with the tools they need and providing opportunities for them through the Family Empowerment and Discipleship Program. This one-year training covers 5 modules: spiritual development, healthy Christian marriage development, positive parenting and child development, physical health development, and personal finance and business development. And all of this could not be done without the presence of Eden Mission in the area. The Lord is moving in miraculous ways, and change is happening. Praise God.
Kenneth. So good to have you on this side of the ocean. Is your mic on there? Can we hear you? Yeah, we can hear you. Kenneth, we got 30 minutes. 30 minutes to tell your story. I'd like you to just begin by sharing with us a little bit of your background, how you came to work with Pastor Peter, and then ultimately how God gave you the vision to do what you're doing today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joe. Good morning, everyone. You're ready for some African accent this morning? So I was born and raised in southwestern Uganda. Had an opportunity to go to school, finish university, then went back for other courses and worked for different ministries, worked for Compassion International for 8 years. And then in the process, our country director then recommended me to work with Pastor Peter in the child sponsorship program. And then 2 years into that, they needed an executive director to work with Pastor Peter to lead the operational part of the ministry. I was able to, I took on that responsibility for probably 7 or 8 years. So we traveled everywhere together, both in Africa and in the other parts world, and it was good. So that was the ministry side. I was able also to go to Bible school, then got involved in different pastoral assignments. And so I'm also a businessman. I also was doing business meanwhile in Kampala, Uganda. And so so that's how it was going on. Life was good. As somebody went to school with a job, with a business, from an African perspective, life was good. It was good. And all of a sudden, you know, I get this short-term mission trip to the Congo. And I was born in southwestern Uganda, which neighbors Congo. So as we grew up, we used to see refugees cross into Uganda. And so, but I had no idea what was happening across the border because it's around 9 kilometers, which is around 5 miles from our home to the border. So we are near the border. So, you know, from when I was a kid, refugees would cross into our area. We had a transit center, refugee transit center. And so, so from making 50 years next year, so for the last 50 years, I've seen refugees cross. And they did not start when I was a baby. They started way before. So probably for over 8 years, people have suffered in that country, crossing into our country. We've also had our problems as a country. But when I visited Congo for a short-term mission, I could not, what I experienced in those weeks, I had never experienced. And during my work as with Compassion, I was able to go to 6 African countries, worked there, go to the villages. So I thought I knew Africa problems because I'd gone to all villages of 6 countries. But that short trip to Congo, I could not stop thinking about what is happening there.
What did you experience in the Congo?
So many things, disturbing things. One, human suffering. How people, I mean, somebody is 20, 30, 40, they've never lived in their house. They are in an internally displaced people's camp. A militia group attacks a home, kills 7 members of the home, One person survives by jumping through the window and is cut the arm and runs with half part of the arm holding like this. A militia group comes and rapes an entire village. Raping a woman when the husband is seeing. Very terrible, terrible situations. Coming and you burn an entire village, houses, you know. And so I experienced these things, visited, met people who had gone through that a week, two, 3 weeks before. I could not believe it. I thought I was very prayerful and anointed, but I failed to pray for these people. I did not feel I had the right words to pray for them. It was overwhelming. And so when I went back to Uganda, I was an executive director. So for those of you who have been to Gaba, Kampala, I was in the African Union Ministries building at the top floor overseeing the lake. So it was good. I would open the windows and I get all the air from the lake in my office. But when I went back to that office, I did not enjoy the office, even the work I had. My heart could not stop thinking about Congo. And so that's when I started talking to Pastor Peter and asking whether we could really go and be in Congo and serve God's people in Congo. I started seeing Uganda as a first world country with all our problems, you know. So the more we talked, he said, I think let's pray about this. So the more we prayed, he felt, I think there's a ministry God wants to birth out of this. And if we go as Eden Mission, as African Union, we won't do it the way you feel it should be done. And so that's when we started praying, and, you know, he released me, and he gave me 6 months. He said, 6 months there, if things don't work out, come back. Your position will be there. We won't hire somebody. So he gave me one person, missions pastor, to go with. And so we are there for what we thought to be around 6 months. We are in that country for 5 years.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, God kept moving us to different places, yeah.
So you moved there with your wife.
Yeah.
You have 5 children.
Yeah, we had 2 then.
You had 2 then.
Yeah, yeah.
You left your business and all that in behind in Uganda.
Yeah.
And you moved into one of the poorest areas of the Congo. So what did you do?
Well, when we left, it was crazy. People who knew me, I was aggressive businessman, Christian businessman, and they thought I had gotten a mental problem, you know. My mom actually talked to my uncle to check, who is a psychiatrist, to check whether I'm okay. Because it didn't seem right. Because everybody was moving out of Congo. And here I'm saying God is calling me to go into the Congo. So people thought I need mental help. And a few times I would also think there's a mental problem with me. Because it wasn't adding up for me. Because I loved business. It was doing well. I loved my ministry work. It was going on well. I had a wife and a 3-year-old kid and a 1-year-old kid, little babies. You are taking them to a location. One, you don't know what you are going to do. You don't know the ministry you're going to work with. You don't know anybody. You can't even speak their language. And now you are leaving your job, you are leaving the business. And as some of you have done business, you know if you are not physically there, it gets problems. But I had this drive that was not ordinary. And that's why also people thought it was crazy. But I was committed, and I knew if one person says I'm crazy, then I will not go. And that was my wife. So I told God, I'm going to talk to my wife. If she says no, it's you who gave her to me. And then I will say, the wife you gave me said no, and then I will not go, you know. So I went and talked to her, and I knew for sure she was going to say no, because my wife is called Abigail. She was born and raised in the cities, in Bujumbura and in Rwanda. So she had never been to a village like me. So I knew for sure she was going, that deep village part of Congo, I'm not going. And then I will use that to take it to God, you know. But when I talked to her, I was shocked. She said, that's what God is saying. Okay, let's pray about it. After 1 week, she said, I feel peace about what you said. I think we should go. Wow. I said, we are going to lose our job. We won't get a salary. She said, yeah, you know, of course, when you resign, you don't get your salary. I said, we'll take our kids. Yeah, we'll take them, of course. We can't leave them. said, is this one crazy like me or no? So, but she accepted. Then we left. It was hard.
What did you do? So you went there to do what?
So when we went there, we really felt, we asked God, do you want us to plant a church? Do you want us to do, because I had gotten Bible training, I was a business person, I had worked for Compassion International with children. I asked God, what do you want us to do? And we felt God was saying, go and equip families. All the problems that are happening today are as a result of the breakdown of the family. The churches, the communities, the family breakdown has affected many things. Pastors are preaching, but things are not okay at home. They are not doing well in their marriages. The community members you see are struggling. And so God took us to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 to 18. And it's like a stage. The way this stage is here, before you come up the stage of life, you are with your family down there.
Right.
And then you grow up, you finish school, you become somebody in office, in government. Nobody knows you. Then you come on stage, everybody's seeing you. And at that point, many times your family is the other side. And you stay on the stage, your family is somewhere, and you are not in touch with them. Then later, I like this stage, it brings it out well. There are also steps out of this, off the stage. And when you get old and you are leaving the stage of life, and that's when you start looking for where they are. Where are my kids? Where is my wife? Where is? But during the stage time, you are busy with everything in this world. Looking for money, serving God for us who are in ministry, and your family doesn't know where you are. By the time they see you, you are old and you are, for lack of a better word, no longer useful. I wanted to say useless, but that's not, it's a harsh word. But you are not productive. You are weak. Your health is not okay. So you are really more, you need more help. But during your stage time, they did not see you. And I saw that was one of the biggest problems of church leaders in our African program. It's not the churches. We have very many churches planted everywhere, but the health of those churches is not good because the pastor is not healthy. And as a result, the community, the members of the church are not healthy. So we felt God telling us, go and focus on the families. If you focus on families, they will be healthy. These kids will not go to join militia groups because they are involved in something. So God told us five things to focus on. One, the spiritual health. One, first of the pastor's family. The spiritual health, the economic health, the marriage, healthy marriage, parenting to ensure that children are being raised in the right way. And finally, physical health, to ensure that they are mental health, emotional health, to be able to help other people. And so that's what we set out to do. We recruited, we went there and we got 30 pastors in the program from a city called Bunia. And they trusted us, surprised that they trusted us. And they didn't know us, they did not know our doctrinal beliefs, but they said yes. So for 1 year we had them with us. And we talked about them and God first. Who are you as a church leader with your God? What's your relationship with God? Do your children see you as a church leader? Does your wife see you as a pastor or a man? Do they see what you say at church? Do they see it at home? Or they see a hypocrite, somebody who says something on church on Sunday, and during the week, you are another man in the community. You know, in your marriage, does your wife enjoy your marriage? And as we did, you know, different groups, because our program normally rather strictly handles high wives and husbands. So during the seminars, we'd, you know, separate women and men. I wish we had time, we'll do it today if there are married people here. We'd put our wives aside and we ask, how's your life? And most of them, like 80%, would say it's a mess. The men you are seeing there, please, when you go back in the hall together, tell them that they should be pastors to us. They should love us. They should be kind and loving to us. They shouldn't hug everybody at church, but for us at home, we are like utensils, you know. And so we are surprised that things were not, if they are not okay with the church leaders, they will definitely not be okay with the members of the congregations, because you give what you have. So our focus was first on the health of pastors' families and then the members of the congregation.
Okay. So you started with 30 pastors. And you developed a curriculum in all five. Tell us a little bit about what that training looks like.
Yeah, so the training is five modules. The first one is spiritual, because you believe that the foundation of everything is Jesus Christ. And first, you and God. Before you go to the church, how are you doing with God, you as a person? Then, so we have a module where we take these pastors, no matter the denomination you are from, as long as you are an evangelical, you follow the Bible, you are an evangelical church. So it focuses on spiritual first. Second, we focus on economic empowerment. A number of the churches in our communities, the income is very, very, very small. Members of the church are very, very poor, so the income is very, very small. It can't sustain a pastor. And for some reason, the original missionaries said a pastor can't work as long as you have a church. That's your ministry. So a pastor gets, $100 in the whole month as income to the church. But his family alone needs maybe $300 to survive. He can't work because the original mission said you can't work. And then the family is struggling. So he becomes the poorest member of that community. And as a result, he's borrowing money from everybody. And by the end of the day, people say, if his God is that, why should we even be going to church? Because we see his God is not providing for him. So we take them back to what the Bible says. The Bible says, I'll bless the works of your hands. When God created Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, he told Adam that, I've put you in this garden to work it and care for it. Even before Eve came, Adam had an assignment to take care of that land. But that's never talked about in church. So we have a responsibility to work, as long as you plan your time well, that your work is not affecting the ministry you are doing. And no, we teach them business. And business is not crossing your country to another country to buy stuff to bring. But at home, if you have two chicken, we say two chicken can make you a rich person. My business, I started with a six-gallon container of milk. That's what I started with for my business. I was moving to home selling milk, a cup. That business grew into 5 containers, 7, 20, 8. I was moving on a bicycle. From one bicycle, selling myself, to 18 boys working for me, taking milk in the whole city. From there, I bought a big container, a small car that carries milk. From there, I bought a big truck that carries milk. So I know you can start small and grow. If you have two chicken at home as a pastor, those two chicken can give you 15 eggs. 15 eggs can turn into 15 chicken. At $10 every chicken, that's $150. They lay three times in a year. So that's $450. So you take your kids to school without borrowing from anybody. And chicken at home can't stop you from preparing a sermon. They can't stop you from visiting people. Can't stop you from praying for people. But we have this mentality of begging, asking, give me, which has killed most of our communities in Africa. So we believe as Eden Mission that when you empower a family spiritually, economically, marriage, your marriage is good, you are talking, you are enjoying marriage, you are raising your children in a godly way, and doesn't matter when they become teenagers and run away from the road or they do their things, you've done your part. As far as God is concerned, you did your part. And one day God will turn them around. And their story, while they are lost, will be a testimony when they come back into the house of God. And so we do that a lot. Then the last one is health. We ensure that their health is good. Pastors in Africa, I don't know in the US, but they are too busy. They are everywhere, running everywhere. Conference training. So by the end of the day, he comes home, he's sleeping. The wife is telling him something, and all of a sudden he finds the eyes are closed. He's deep asleep or snoring in the chair. So the wife waits for the following
day. It happens in my home too, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, so we'll bring our training then here. Yeah, but you know, so they work hard. They really work hard, but they don't spare time to rest and to be with their families. And so the productive time a family would need many times is not seen. So basically, that's what we do.
When you are helping the pastors like start a business and think economically, you actually fund. You loan them money to start businesses. Where did the money come from to loan these pastors, and how does that work?
Yeah, so we, after the 1 year, so they do spiritual training in Feb, another training in April, another training in June, August, September, December, they graduate. But in between the trainings, our staff visit their homes, like to talk one-on-one, you know. We did a spiritual training. How is it with your wife? How is it with God? And because you are private, they will open up. They tell you, if I had an opportunity, I would leave this church. I would go and do other things, you know. And so after the 1 year of those trainings, our staff, every after a module, they visit their homes to ensure that. And that's where we feel our ministry is. You know, one-on-one, people are able to share openly, because there is nobody hearing, and you are not from that city or that church, so they won't fear you'll tell anybody about what is happening. And through that, God brings healing to this couple. So after year they graduate, then we go to the second year. In the second year, we train, we help them start Bible study groups as pastors from the same location, but also we help them start a savings group. They save money together. They register a cooperative with the local community and then with the government, and then they open a bank account and they save money putting it on their account. And they have a committee. So after 6 months of faithfully doing this, and we see that they are serious, then we run the money. The man originally came from my business. It was the
came
first
from the
years.
Bank of Kenneth.
Yeah, you know, the little I had saved from my business, I thought I can lend them. They use it, they bring it back, they take it to another group, to another group, to another group. But, you know, God started bringing in people like Harvest City Church, who started supporting us, and now we are able to do it in 6 countries. And that's where we are able to serve over 22,000 last year, you know.
So you started with 30 pastors.
Yeah, in 2015.
In 2015,
yeah.
And now you're in 6 countries.
Yeah.
How many people went through your training just last year?
So last year, we have different types of trainings. We have what we call short-term, like when you sent a mission team last year, they were able to do what we call short-term trainings. I have another one called long-term. That's the long one for the 1 year. And then we have medical outreaches to the heart-rich parts of the 6 countries for pregnant mothers. So for the pastors that went through our program last year, it was around 2,400 pastors and their wives in the 6 countries. Then for the short-term mission work, it was around 18,000, and then, 15,000, then around 5,000 for pregnant mothers. So in total, it was around 22,000. But for the long-term training, it was 2,400 people. 2,400. You said 2,400. I said 2,400. Yeah, pastors.
Pastors went through the full year module.
The full year module.
All 5 modules.
And graduated.
Are being followed up on individually by your team.
Yeah.
How big is your volunteer team now?
We have around above 500, around 600 volunteers that went through our program and are available to go and be a blessing to the people the way they were blessed. So, but then we have a few full-time staff, but majority of members of our team are volunteers.
When the pastors go through the training, do they train their people?
That's the commitment at the graduation. They get the curriculum. They now do the same with their congregations. And that's where our joy is. That's the big payment I get, and I feel this is a big check. It's when I hear testimonies of the pastors that went through our program doing the same in their churches. So some will come together, maybe three pastors, and do the program in the three churches, and the three pastors are the trainers. And they use their lives as an example. I've attended a few, and you hear the pastor say, when we started this training, me and my wife were not talking. Oh, my wife didn't know how much I earned. That was my money. You know, I don't know whether it's there in North America, but a man in Africa is a man. So you don't follow him around with money, his money. They give you what they give you for the home. The rest is his business, you know. So that's when you hear testimonies of how God opened homes, transparency, the woman knows what the man is earning. They talk about where it's going. It's beautiful. You see, the character that wasn't good, God has flipped it aside. So the merit prior effect is amazing, because even like for last year, 2,400 pastors, if they all go and do it in their churches, those are thousands of people that God ministers to through that mighty prayer effect. And I'm sure those churches, from the testimonies we've had, those churches become stronger, the giving increases, but also people get to know what they are called to do, what God has in store for them to accomplish. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things that I love about what Kenneth's ministry is doing, one of the things I've heard for years is that the African church is a mile wide and an inch deep. There's churches everywhere. But it's this practical needs of lifting families out of poverty and just training on what a pastor actually should look like and be and do, many of them not even equipped very well. And so the thing that I love about what Kenneth's ministry is doing is they're going into the hardest places. In fact, he's said to me that God, if it's too easy, he won't go there. It's like God has called him to go to the hardest, the furthest, the most rural places where nobody is going, to really at the grassroots level lift first pastors and their families out of poverty, but then in so doing, and then the community. And so now, as a result, they have many more people that aren't even Christians that are wanting to come and be trained on how to do family and business. And that's one of the ways that they end up sharing the gospel ultimately. So you've just moved from Uganda with your family to Tanzania. Just tell us in like 1 minute what your vision is.
Yeah, so we feel as a family, God gave this assignment of Eden Mission. Our role is to lead the way. We don't send people where we can't go as a family. So we go there first and prepare for others. So we started in Congo, two cities in Congo for 5 years. Then we came to Rwanda for 2 years. Then we went to Uganda, started the same in Uganda for 2 years. Then last year we went to Tanzania. We'll be there for 2 years and then go to Burundi. So we are a family that is moving all the time. We unpack as we park, unpack as we park, moving. But the beauty with that, you get to see what God is doing in those countries. You learn people's culture. You connect with the communities. You connect with the leaders. They feel you are part of them than coming and going. So that's what we do. And from there, we'll go to another country. The goal is to move south up to South Africa and move north up to Algeria and wherever God takes us, we are going. Because family is family all over the world. That's what I realize. Family is dear. What hurts somebody in Canada, when you have a problem in your family, it will hurt equally, emotionally, the same person in Africa. So family is family, and whether rich, whether poor, whether educated, not educated, whether anointed or not anointed, we all need good families. And so it's a ministry we realize that is needed everywhere by everybody, starting with church leaders and the members of the congregation. So we keep going and then prepare, then set up a team, connect with different churches, and establish ourselves in that area. Then after 2 years, the team is established, they are serving that community, then we go to another country like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Last thing, because we're out of time. Would you tell this church from your perspective, you helped organize our crusade in Kosoro last year. Did it do any good? Should we keep doing this? Can you give us your perspective as a local on the inside?
I know. It's I don't know how I can explain that. Wish I had like 30 minutes for only that, you know. But there is something God is doing in this church around the world. It's amazing. I don't know whether people here know, but there is a lot that God is doing using Harvest City Church around the world. Let me not say around the world. In Africa, where I know and where I've experienced. When you visited our area, only over 2,500 people came to the Lord. When you left, we were able to have an organized follow-up to each of the 2,500 people that came to the Lord. That's a big, big impact. When you came, you are able to bring together very, very many denominations that are not willing to work together. You remember we were talking about with you and Pastor Natori, because some said we can't go to meet that denomination. We are Baptists. We can't go to meet Pentecostals. But God ended up bringing them together because they've all gone through our program and they are our friends. And so from there, they've said, let's do this every year, even without our Canadian friends. They brought us together, they left. So let's stay together, you know. So they are going to be doing it every year, one event for all pastors coming together that used not to come. Well, maybe God would have used another person to do it, but we are for sure know it started when the ministry came to Africa, to our area. So my prayer is that as a church, you'll not stop doing that. The way we needed it in Kisoro, Uganda, I'm sure it's the way other parts of the world needs it. It's the way probably Ethiopia needs it, the way Nigeria needs it, the way South Africa needs it. So there is something special anointing really that you have at this church and in your leadership, Pastor Joe, that really the world needs. If I was a rich person, I would be writing checks for those outreaches all the time because I see the impact it's creating, starting with my community where I come from. So I'm praying that God will continue to expand that. It's a beautiful thing. A lot is accomplished in that short period that we are there. We had a team on mission team. There are a few members I met before the service that came there. And we served hundreds of young people in the communities. We went to prison. And as a result, like the prison we went to, the head of the prison has allowed us to be doing ministry there every week. You know, so it opened. So you come. It's like you are trying to open a door, but the key can't go anywhere. Like, it can't fit in somebody whose eyes are more clear. They come and help you. Not clear. The one who is swift, they open, then now you are in the house doing whatever you want to do. So you support people locally to open doors that have been hard to open. And so I pray that God will help this to continue. Not only in in Africa, but wherever God calls the team to go, I think it's something needed all over the world.
All right. Why don't everybody stand to their feet? I think we have a slide on the screen, but I just wanted to let you know that our goal for our faith commitment offering in a month is $320,000. Last year it was 300, so we're believing God for 20,000 more this year. And as part of that goal, Kenneth, we're going to contribute to $15,000 by God's grace to what you're doing with Eden Mission. And our heart is that maybe we'll do a crusade in Burundi with you and your team. When you get that team established, then we'll come in and work with you maybe in some of those other areas, along with Pastor Peter and his vision to plant 12,000 churches in 12 nations in 10 years or whatever it is. You guys have such big visions. But it's just wonderful to be able to partner with you. Father, I thank you for Kenneth. I thank you for his family, their willingness to just go and lay it all down, to go to some of the toughest places in Africa, to preach the gospel, to lift families out of poverty, to train and equip. And God, I pray that you would continue to bless him, bless this ministry, expand his partnerships, expand his increase, protect his own marriage, protect his own children. God, give him courage, give him boldness, give him strength, give him wisdom, Lord. Help him in the things that you've called him to do. And Lord, I pray as a church that you would continue to stir in our hearts a vision of reaching the world for Jesus. Help us to know what our part is to play in all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Hope that you're encouraged this morning. Have a great rest of your week. If you want to come and say hello to Kenneth, he'll be hanging around here as well.